I saw two secret rulings of how the government has created additional loopholes to spy on you that I'm not even allowed to tell you. These are classified as top secret.
Federal and local agencies are running warrantless facial recognition scans on millions of innocent Americans. They're creating a digital footprint of your entire life without a single warrant or even probable cause.
We've created this bill called the Surveillance Accountability Act. This was conceived by Naomi Brockwell of the Ludlow Institute. She eats, sleeps, and breathes this topic.
I want to thank Congressman Thomas Massie. I want to thank Naomi for the years of work that they have put into this piece of legislation. I am honored to co-sponsor the Surveillance Accountability Act.
They have failed every single time to present one example of where they have prevented a crime or an act of terrorism by going after American citizens without a warrant. Hello, thank you for showing up. Today we're introducing a brand new bill that's long needed. Unfortunately, it's needed because there have been so many erosions of our Fourth Amendment right to privacy. You know, there's a robust discussion right now about the FISA 702 program, but really that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of infringement on the Fourth Amendment. There's so many other laws and Supreme Court decisions that have impinged on your right to privacy. For instance, the Bank Secrecy Act, the Right to Financial Privacy Act, the Patriot Act. All of these have great sounding names, but all of them created so-called loopholes in the Constitution. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, not a euphemism, but misnamed because it's got foreign in it. It's used to go after Americans. Secret applications of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I've been in a skiff last week where I saw two secret rulings, interpretations of FISA law, of how the government has created additional loopholes to spy on you that I'm not even allowed to tell you. These are classified as top secret. And finally, the third party doctrine. This is very troublesome. It's been expanded. It's based on a ruling of the Supreme Court. It was a 6-3 ruling. I think it was a bad ruling, but it's been expanded in its interpretation to include things like doctor's appointment records, bank records, phone records, who have you texted, all the metadata, flock cameras, for instance, now. And if you think about collecting information on bank records, that means you can get your gun records. And this was done. This is not something I've imagined. This is something that I learned about thanks to whistleblowers on the Judiciary Committee. What the DOJ did is they asked Bank of America, and Bank of America complied for all of the records of anybody who was here inside of a certain radius of Washington, D.C. on January 6th. They asked them for all of their bank purchase records for gun stores as well. It's completely illegal, but imagine instead of doing a query with one person that you turn AI loose on these databases now. There's virtually nothing the government can't know about you without a warrant. If you believe that these infringements are legitimate, and they are not, that is why we've created this bill called the Surveillance Accountability Act. This was conceived by Naomi Brockwell of the Ludlow Institute. We've been working on it for years. It's got the right provisions in it so that it doesn't impede legitimate law enforcement activity, and it's long needed. It closes these loopholes that I've explained to you. And more importantly, it creates a private right of action. You know, you can sue state employees of the government, but it's almost impossible to sue federal government employees if they infringe on your constitutional rights. So we put that's the second half of this bill. It gives you the right to sue the government employee. And this is one of the most frustrating things I've run into since I've been in Congress. No accountability. I'll tell you what, we'll have accountability if when somebody goes to work, it's not just fun and games. If they infringe on your rights, on your constitutional rights, they could be privately and personally sued for that. With that, I want to turn over the podium to my friend Naomi Brockwell and thank her. She's an expert on privacy. This is what she does. This is, she eats, sleeps, and breathes this topic. And she's very been very good at helping us conceive of this bill. So I give you Naomi Brockwell.
Thank you so much, Congressman Massey. So this year, we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, which is really exciting. But if we look back to why we needed a Declaration of Independence in the first place, it was to counter egregious abuse of power. That is one of the big reasons why we had a revolution. So when the Declaration was signed, when the Constitution was written, when the Bill of Rights was written, the founders intentionally wrote something called the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment was a direct response to the egregious abuse of power happening from the king and the king's men. They had things called general warrants. These basically gave the king's men a permission slip to rifle through the things of all citizens, have unfettered access to everything in their lives. And this was used to target dissent. Anyone who criticized the crown became a target. And when you have unfettered access to everything in a person's life, you can piece together any fragments that you find to form whatever narrative you want about that person and justify going after them. Now, fast forward, it's 2026. We're meant to have a Fourth Amendment that specifically requires judicial oversight. Law enforcement is not meant to decide its own limits of power. We are meant to have a judge sign off on it. Law enforcement is meant to make the case before a judge, and the judge has to agree that this is warranted to intrude on that person's life. Unfortunately, we have lost the Fourth Amendment in the digital age. We have law enforcement buying troves of data from data brokers. We have them directly querying the databases of companies, and they are skirting all warrant requirements to do this. This is not what the Fourth Amendment intended. So the Surveillance Accountability Act is meant to fix this. It's meant to say, if you want to do a search on someone, if you want to invade their life, you need a warrant and you need a judge to sign off on it. You need that judicial oversight. So I really hope that the Surveillance Accountability Act can help fix this. The most important part of this, as Congressman Massey already said, is the private right of action. If you don't get a warrant, then people can hold you accountable. I think this is tremendously important. So thank you all for caring about this issue. I think it gets more and more important as AI ramps up and we get better technology that allows us to sift through this data.
I want to introduce my co-chair of the Second Amendment Caucus, Lauren Boebert. We both understand that you can't have a Second Amendment if you don't have a Fourth Amendment and a First Amendment. All of these rights go hand in hand. And she's been a stalwart defender of the Second Amendment and also of the Fourth Amendment. So she is the co-lead on this bill. We're introducing this together today. And I give you Lauren Boebert from Colorado.
Thank you, co-chair. It has been an honor to serve alongside Congressman Thomas Massey, someone who has led on constitutional rights issues well before I arrived here in Washington, D.C. He was someone that I looked to for guidance as soon as I did get here. And I knew that this would be an ally for me, that he and I could work hand in hand in protecting the rights of American citizens. And today I'm proud to stand with my co-chair, my colleague, Congressman Thomas Massey, to introduce the Surveillance Accountability Act. Our bill, it finally puts an end to the deep state's unconstitutional spying on American people. There's been a lot of talk about FISA and 702 and warrants for the past few weeks now, but I don't think that that's where the issue ultimately lies. Sure, it is a problem when any American citizen is looked into without a warrant, but it doesn't end under FISA. It doesn't end under 702. Every day, federal and local agencies are running warrantless facial recognition scans on millions of innocent Americans. They're scanning our faces in public places, at protests, even at our children's schools. The government is building secret databases they can go through anytime that they feel like it. They're blanketing our neighborhoods with flock cameras. And every single one of you should be saying, "What the flock?" I mean, this is an absolute egregious reach on our Fourth Amendment rights. They're creating a digital footprint of your entire life without a single warrant or even probable cause. Your morning commute to work, it's tracked. Dropping off your kids at their soccer practice, that's logged. Visiting a church or a gun range, recorded forever in a government accessible database. This is happening right now in cities and towns across America. And the federal government is happily buying the data and pressuring local police to share it. That's right. The Fourth Amendment should not be for sale. Yet your federal government is purchasing your data from these third-party companies. The Surveillance Accountability Act ends this once and for all. Under our bill, any government-initiated search must be supported by a warrant based on probable cause, just like the Fourth Amendment demands. If the government wants to search you, they go to a judge and prove they have probable cause. That's what our founding fathers intended. That's what every single one of us swore an oath to protect. I've seen firsthand how the surveillance state weaponizes technology against its own citizens. Enough is enough. The Surveillance Accountability Act puts the Constitution back in charge. It protects every American from out-of-touch control of the federal government that thinks it owns your data, your movements, and your life. I want to thank Congressman Thomas Massie. I want to thank Naomi for the years of work that they have put into this piece of legislation. I am honored to co-sponsor the Surveillance Accountability Act, and I urge many more members to join this. In fact, at a FISA roundtable that we had with the speaker and other members last night, I suggested that we put together a surveillance task force and actually move on working to solve these issues that go far beyond FISA and 702. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a few questions now.
Caitlin Kemp, Colorado Public Radio.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I know you want to, how do you see this bill playing with the FISA negotiation going on with everything else? Would you want to see movement on the bill in concert with negotiations on FISA, or do you see this going on as separate tracks?
I think it's the art of the deal. They're asking for too little right now here on these FISA negotiations. It's mother, may I, pretty please, give us some breadcrumb, some morsel in this FISA reauthorization to give us some hope that we're not being spied on. What they should be addressing comprehensively is all of the ways that we're being spied on, and they're not. So I think, you know, we got to put the goalpost out there, and that's where they should be reaching. And when they go into the FISA negotiations, they should understand it's just a very small part of what needs to be changed. The only reason we're talking about FISA right now is it's expiring. And these other bills aren't expiring. Some of them don't have expiration dates. And so it's an opportunity, I think, to talk about all of the bills in the context of this FISA battle right now.
Yeah, I think I would say we as members of Congress should act like we're about to lose our country. Like, let's just pretend that we will lose everything if we don't actually take action and get a grip on the overgrown, overreaching federal government. We all came here with a promise to limit the federal government. And the one briefing that we're never going to be offered, as many of you know, we've been pulled into all sorts of skiffs, and we want to tell you all the things that you need to hear that the American public just isn't smart enough to hear. So we have to tell you in secret. And it's always the world is falling apart. Everyone's going to die if we don't do something to reauthorize FISA. But the briefing that you are never going to get, that we as members of Congress are never going to get from any federal agency, is, hi, you have given us too much authority. Please take some of it back. They are never going to bring us into a skiff and say they have too much access into your lives, into the American people's lives. And so we are trying to constrain the federal government and limit that access, especially when it comes to the third party doctrine and warrantless surveillance of American citizens.
We have a very small window of opportunity because tech is advancing so quickly, and we have to move pretty fast, because if we get to a state where We no longer have privacy. We will no longer have the self-correcting mechanisms in our society that protect our freedom. We will no longer be able to have investigative journalists. We will no longer be able to have opposition parties. We will no longer be able to have a protest movement. And we know this by looking across the world at all of the countries that have a panopticon already set up. We can look at places like China, where they have no independent media. They have no whistleblowers. They have no dissidents, no protest movement at all. We do not want to become like that. And that is why the Fourth Amendment is so important, because it safeguards that underpinning freedom of society. So we cannot lose privacy in the name of safety, because otherwise, come tomorrow, none of us are going to have safety anymore. The wolf is already going to be inside the gate. So we have to act really fast before we hit that tipping point and become a panopticon.
I want to reinforce something that Representative Boebert said. They bring you into these skiffs and they try to pretend they're giving you new information that's not already public. And then after you go in this gift, they say, well, now you're smarter than your constituents, and so you're empowered to vote against their rights. That is not true.
Correct.
Everything we receive in this gift, most of it is just a whip effort. And if you're the least bit curious and start asking questions in those skiffs, as I have, of the heads of CIA and DNI and DOJ and FBI, if you ask them questions, they have failed every single time to present one example of where they have prevented a crime or an act of terrorism by going after American citizens without a warrant. Yes.
Caleb asks for Washington. Have you heard any partnership about whether they would put this on global vote?
Lauren's been talking with leadership about the FISA reforms, but this might be a good one to do a discharge petition on. You know, I stood at this very microphone with my co-chair here, Representative Boebert, backing our discharge petition when others wouldn't. And they said it would fail on the Epstein files. And it actually succeeded thanks to her bravery and two other women. And I think we might be able to form the same sort of coalition and force this to a vote. All right. One more question.
Matt. Jimmy, okay. With Free the People. I think Congressman Boebert touched on this. But it strikes me that so many of the issues that you take on and she takes on are Washington insiders versus America. And I don't see this happening just with your colleagues and all of your friends at the FBI and the other agencies. How do we get the American people to beat Washington on this one?
We are doing our best to put restraints on the federal government. And I think the discharge petition is a great start. This is something that very well could have enough bipartisan support to actually force a vote on the House floor. And it's unfortunate that we even have to use privileged procedures like that so often. But we have a majority that doesn't always listen to the will of the people. We are continuously voting on suspensions. There was a long stint of voting on suspensions on Senate bills when the Senate refuses to budge on anything that we have sent them. They expect us to bend the knee and accept whatever garbage is sent our way by them. They won't take up the Save America Act. And so I think having this discharge petition for the Surveillance Accountability Act could be something that could force this to be made into law. It's a very terrifying thing when you are being surveilled all day, every day, whether it's your iPhone or the cameras on buildings, or like it was even mentioned here, your health records. There is so much and so much database that is there. It's very terrifying. And so whatever we could do to kind of put the reins on that and force this is a win.
I think the best thing we could do is put daylight on it. We're having this press conference in daylight. Last week, they tried to reauthorize FISA at 2 a.m. in the morning, and we had a victory there. We defeated them at 1 a.m. We defeated them at 2 a.m. And finally, the victory we got was a two-week extension where they would have to come back out in the daylight and discuss this issue, and they hate daylight. So that's what this bill is about. When I think it's almost like a mind trick to argue about some little tiny part of some of the FISA 702 program. And the 702 part is a part of a bigger FISA to make you think that this is the only thing that needs to be fixed. What we're doing here today is giving you a comprehensive list and a solution to it, but a comprehensive list of all the ways that you're being spied on And as Americans see that, we think they'll come to rally and get other members of Congress to support this bill. We need other people to co-sponsor it. Today is the debut of it. It's brand new. I forgive other members of Congress who didn't see the email inviting them to join this bill. But now that it's out in the open, they've got no excuse to co-sponsor it. And we welcome members of Congress from both parties to co-sponsor this bill. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you.